Would you pray with me? Holy One, would you inspire our hearts to understanding? Inspire our minds with learning, and inspire us to hear your voice in the words of Scripture and in the words that we say today. Amen. In the day that the Lord God made the earth, called in the old language Adama, and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. Then the Lord God formed a person, in the old language, the Adam, from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Adam became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the Adam whom he had formed. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the Adam should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal and every bird of the air. But for the Adam, there was not found a helper as his partner. And so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman," in Hebrew, Isha. "For out of man," in Hebrew, Ish, "this one was taken." This beautiful story is a parable. That means that the more questions you ask, the more meanings become apparent. It is a myth. That means that it is more than true. It contains in it a truth about human beings, a truth that sings in us like a familiar song, even when we really don't understand the lyrics. It is a fable. That means it has a message about ways that we can live that keep us well and happy. It is a saga, which means that it is a story of the adventures of a family from one generation to another. It is an allegory. That means it describes or retells a much greater truth in a way that human beings can understand. And it is a paradox. That means that the story seems to contradict itself. With all that, each time we retell the story, we hear and listen for those meanings that are important for us today. The next time we read it, we may find that what is most important that day is different than today. In the day when God made the earth and the heavens, when there was yet no one to till the earth, God made a person from the dust of the earth. We are told from the very beginning that we are not alone, that we are formed heads, hands, fingers, and toes by the hand and mind of God. We are as much a part of the earth as rocks and trees and skies and seas, as larks and bees and lions and raccoons. Sorry, having a little trouble with raccoons at our place. Made from the earth, part of the earth, to till the earth and care for it. And here is the paradox. We are made from tiny specks of dust. By a God so great, God made the heavens and the earth. And yet so close that in this story, God kneels by the river of life and makes a creature out of the dust. It's the paradox that touched me as I read the story this week. The paradox of the impossible reality, the impossible possibility. There's a psalm that says, "What is man, O God, that you should be mindful of us?" And thinking of this mystery, I also happen to be reading a mystery by the wonderful Canadian author Trevor Ferguson, writing as John Farrow, and he wrote this. If you really understand what it took for you to come into being, for a visible universe to burst into creation, for gases to condense and stars to form with their atoms, and atoms to fly through stars and space and time, that to our puny minds is endless, eternal in terms of our ability to conceive of it, and through all of that nothingness, these stray wild atoms land on planet Earth and become vegetables and monkeys and fish and spend time in the body of Christ and Buddha and village idiots and tyrants to arrive for now, for a brief blink in time and space, in your body and in mine. If you took into account the human cost of how we came to be, in striving and migrations and war and building up and tearing down, and if you were to wonder how your existence is based on a moment in eternity of two people coming together at one moment of conception, then we might begin to grasp how impossible we are. So we, against all odds, exist. We, the impossible possibility, the impossible reality. We must believe in ourselves because we are here. And if we are tiny creatures in the midst of a universe so vast we can't even begin to understand it, made up of even tinier atoms, protons and electrons, perhaps we can also believe that we are part of something greater. The dust of the earth from which we are made is the dust of uncounted stars, unfathomable distance, and time past knowing. We would not exist without specks of dust. And just as the dust is essential to our being, we also are, in some way that we don't yet understand and may never understand, essential in the universe and this world. C.S. Lewis says that to be the son of Adam or a daughter of Eve is enough to bow the head of the greatest king and raise the head of the lowest beggar. The paradox is that we are only dust, but we can affect the lives of every other living creature. In the cosmos, we are tiny, but like dust, we have a role to play, though we are so small. No matter who we are, our actions, our love and compassion can save another. Our passion can create life. The great saga tells us we are part of something so much larger than ourselves as individuals, even larger than ourselves as members of this community, bigger than what it means to be Canadian or American or whatever. We are part of a family saga that stretches back beyond the fossilized human we call Lucy, who evidently fell from a tree 500,000 years ago. We are part of a saga that stretches long after we are gone, and our life and love and living will affect those who come after in ways that we don't yet know. In this world, it is hard to hold on to belief. It is hard to find faith. But, said John Farrow, if we can believe in ourselves a little, remembering that we are the impossible made possible. Ultimately, John Farrow says, you will believe what you choose to believe or what you cannot help but believe. But if you believe in yourself, then you know that that is ludicrous. And no less ludicrous than a belief in God. However, I believe in you, in all of you, in this cloud of life and humanity before me. And so I am inspired to believe also in God, who brings this group of people together. However impossible we are, however ludicrous that belief might be, I am inspired to believe that we come together for good. And in the season of creation, I believe in the words of Psalm 138, which says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. for you do not forsake the work of your hands. Amen.